fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fuel, the podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership within the automotive industry. Fuel is bringing you the latest in proven strategies and techniques that can take your service department to the next level.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Alex Keith, and today I've got Mr. Jim Roach with me, and he is the president and CEO and founder of WarCloud. Jim, thanks for coming on today, brother.
Thanks, Alex. Great to see you and happy to be here.
So I'm extremely excited about this conversation because I've heard a lot about your company. You know, we just got back from NADA, and you must be doing something big because you had Kurt Warner over there signing footballs.
Well, you know what? We did seem to be the talk of the show, or at least one of the companies that was the talk of the show, which is really surprising and interesting given how unexciting warranty claims processing is, at least on the surface of it. But yeah, we had contacted Kurt Warner, obviously, you know, former NFL MVP and Hall of Famer. He's also doing NFL analysis, so still very active. Had a movie made about his life a couple years ago, and he was the NADA keynote speaker on Sunday. So, you know, just checked a lot of boxes. And, you know, we wanted to bring somebody in who, you know, is synonymous with winning and with quality, with precision, persistence. And, you know, for most people's money, Kurt Warner is the you know, the best Cinderella story in sports history, right?
Yes, he is. And it's a great movie, too. It really is a good movie.
Oh, I love it. And I'm from St. Louis. So, you know, that movie hits close to home. And Kurt was in the booth for 2 hours. He signed 250 footballs, and he just made everybody smile, made everybody feel welcome. It was just a wonderful guy. So it was just one of those things. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he did, so one of the people who came to the booth wore a number 13 jersey, and he got a signed ball from Kurt. And then when Kurt signed the ball, the guy ran down the booth, and Kurt threw a rope to him and hit him in the letters, and the guy caught the ball, and the audience went crazy. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was that loud cheer. Now I know what it was.
Yes. You thought it was for me, but no, yeah. Of course not. It was for Kurt Warner throwing a touchdown pass in the WarCloud booth.
That was awesome. Well, that's so cool. Like you said, I like how you shine light on it. It's like, you know, you got Kurt Warner over there in something as boring as warranty administration and warranty claims. But that's what really got me intrigued is kind of what you guys do. So, you know, one of the things I love to do on the show is just kind of get, you know, how in the world did this become a thing? Like where did you start off at? And then how did you get to the point where you could develop this and it be successful?
Sure. Well, I've been working with dealers for way over 30 years, delivering technology solutions to them. As a matter of fact, my connection to Dynatron is the person who I've done that with through my life is Les Silver, who's the executive chairman of Dynatron, and his son Lee. So Les and I go back to the 1980s, and then we did something, Les did, he allowed me to come in, something called NewGen in the 1990s. And then I founded a company that became part of Les's company, Service Repair Solutions. That company was called AutoPoint in the 2000s. So we have worked together off and on and have a great relationship. I like to tell people that, you know, everything I've ever learned, I learned from Les. And in my walking around in dealerships over the years, I noticed that, you know, whenever you opened enough doors, eventually you would find a little broom closet with stacks of paper up to the ceiling. And that was the warranty administrator's office, right?
That's correct. Yep.
And to me, as an entrepreneur, one of the things that I would always do would be to look for problems that people weren't solving. And stacks of paper always said to me, there's a problem that technology hasn't addressed. But it was an astute service leader friend who actually said to me, you know, when I commented on the stacks of paper, he said, you know, dummy, that's not a stack of paper. That's a stack of uncashed checks.
That's right.
And that was the real epiphany. The light bulb went on. And so we began looking at the problem and learned that no one had really brought any technology to help warranty claims processing. So we set to work on it. It's deceptively simple to describe. It's actually very complex to do technically, but sometimes ignorance is bliss. And so we stood up a technology solution. But here's the thing that you know, a couple of things that go to the why versus the what is it. If you look at the pattern of warranty claims processing demand in U.S. dealerships, you know, we saw a significant rise as we approached the pandemic. You know, from 2015 to 2019, warranty claims grew over 38%, a 7.7% year average, which is, you know, a significant increase.
That's yeah.
And then it slowed down because we sold less cars during the pandemic. So of course that's less warranty covered vehicles on the road. But now we are projecting between now and the end of 2026 almost another 20% growth on top of that, which
Wow.
is huge growth. I know it really, that far outstrips the growth that dealers will see in customer pay. And that growth, Alex, is coming from two things. One, we're just going to sell millions more new cars in the next couple of years, which means there will be millions more warranty covered vehicles on the road. But the second factor, and it's more interesting, is according to JD Power, the typical electric vehicle warranty costs run about 300% higher than an internal combustion engine. Well, we know we're going to sell lots more electric vehicles. Your guess is as good as mine as to how many. So those two things combined, we think, are going to drive up the demand for warranty claims processing. Now, what's
Yeah.
happening at the same time is that the people who, for the last 80 years, have done the warranty claims processing, they're called warranty administrators at the dealership, they are on the decline. They are leaving automotive or they're retiring, and the younger generations are not stepping up to fill those jobs. So what we have here is an interesting scalability problem for dealers because demand is going to be going up at the same time that the way it's been done for 80 years is on the decline. So that's why WarCloud is so important. The other factor in that is if you look at the cost of processing those claims manually, it takes a huge bite out of your gross profit. We do regular market research where we go out, we talk to dealer principals, general managers, service leaders. And what they told us when we did our latest market research this past December is that they estimated that the cost of processing those claims consumes somewhere between 12 and 15% of the gross profit,
I
which
would
is a
not have guessed
huge
it
bite.
took that much. Yeah, I would not have guessed that much.
Yeah, it's a huge bite. The average claim takes between 15 and 20 minutes to process. And as we know, wages, you know, that we pay employees at the dealership have been going up steadily for years, as have benefits. So you take all that into consideration, and it's really just, you know, dealers need to get their costs down and their profit up today because the industry-wide the business is challenged. And they need to also do it for the future because of the scalability problem that I just described. So anyway, that's a little bit about what WarCloud is and maybe more importantly, why we do it.
Well, I mean, it's a need. I mean, it's not a want. It's definitely a need of what
Yes.
you're doing and how you're doing it. And I love how all of these conversations that I'm starting to have, Les's name just keeps coming up more and more. The Godfather of fixed ops just keeps coming up more and more, and a lot of these experiences. But no, I mean, it's similar situation we were talking about, you know, with some of the other ADAs, like in St. Louis and the Missouri ADA and some stuff like that, is that we're seeing an influx of people going out of being technicians and not enough coming in. And like you hit it right on the head as we go into the EV world. I remember when hybrid vehicles started to come out, you know, and those batteries and things like that, and just looking at how much you would have to shell out, you know, in warranty just to replace a battery on some of those vehicles and things of that nature. Like you said, I mean, what'd you say? It was 300% higher than a
According to
combustion
JD
vehicle.
Power, the first 12-month warranty costs on an EV run 300% higher than an internal combustion engine.
You know, but and also I think what you're doing is a huge service for the dealership as far as being able to grow people in different areas and not having to kind of be shackled to that broom closet with that fort different warranty claims. I mean, that's how I kind of got broken in. And one of the jobs that I did is I was a warranty administrator. And I'm telling you, if I heard digital imaging one more time, I would I'd be in jail somewhere from dealing with it, because you know it's always a struggle of having to consistently find the right LOP, find the right documentation, get the right punch times and things like that. So that you have the ability to become more automated with this is outstanding, you know, and like you said, but don't you go a little bit further than just doing the standard claims. I mean, you're looking at loaner cars. I mean, you're looking at other things, you know, times, things, little things that sometimes are overlooked by dealerships or even warranty admin. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. WarCloud, in fact, is an outsource. So we take over all of the OEM warranty claims processing on behalf of the dealership. We take 100% of it over. So when we from the booking to the coding to the submission, and any follow-up that needs to be done to make sure 100% of claims get paid, and we'll also help the dealership with flagging and with credits. So we do it all. We take it over for the dealership, and we just get that headache off of them, which I think is important. I mean, number one, a couple of the results that we drive because we have this technology that automates a great portion of the processing. We're able to find more that the dealer is legitimately entitled to. So our typical dealer sees their revenue go up about 12.4%,
Oh, wow.
and we reduce the cost of claims processing by about 50%.
Oh,
So, you
beautiful.
know, it's more for cheaper, which is optimizing profit and the top line, optimizing revenue, which is what the dealer nowadays really wants. And we utilize this technology along with a small number of admins that we hire to take over 100% of the claims processing. Our first time approval rate runs around 94%. So for the 6% that don't get approved the first time, we collect the claim, adjudicate it, and resubmit it on behalf of the dealer. So eventually 100% of claims get processed.
Now, as far as the admin's conversations or as far as their communication with the dealership, I guess in that 6%, or like if somebody didn't have correct punch times or things like that, are they consistently reaching out to a particular person in service, or how do they do that communication when you're having to kind of go back and get additional data?
Yeah, I mean, the most common scenario is when you need additional supporting documentation. The most common is you need a rental car receipt, for example, or maybe you need a battery test slip. So we have an app that we developed called Chirp. And what Chirp is it's an app that sits on the desktop or even your mobile phone, and it's a window into WarCloud. So whenever we see we need a piece of supporting documentation, there will be a chirp ticket that will pop up on somebody at the dealership's phone, and it'll say, "Hey, for repair order 1234, I need the rental car receipt." Just snap a picture of it, it attaches it to the RO, and you're done.
That's
Yeah, I know. Pretty
beautiful.
cool, huh?
That is amazing. I could not, oh man, this is just, I would have
And
loved to have had that.
you can also see the list of all of the ROs for that we are awaiting documentation on, or they're stopped for some other reason. You can even see the schedule in Chirp. So Chirp is really turning out to be just a real fantastic and value-add tool that the dealer uses so that they can interact with us on a really efficient basis.
Well, see, and that's just, I mean, it's one thing that you're offering that a lot of people don't get to offer much is time. You're giving them so much more time and much more efficiency and streamlined. I can take a picture of this and get it taken care of. It's fantastic. I mean,
Well, and the other thing that
fantastic.
we offered, and maybe this is a variation of what you're saying, but instead of all of service people, whether it's a tech or an advisor or the service manager, whoever, in an office or head down in a computer, we're taking that away so that they can be focused on the customer.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that customer experience is what drives retention, and retention is what drives real profitability in the dealership. So we're contributing to that as well by giving that time and the ability to focus more on the customer and the customer experience.
Well, yeah, that's huge. That's huge. So, I mean, I kind of want to go back to something you said earlier, which it's simply described, but it's much more in-depth process of what you do and how you do it as far as, you know, getting the data and setting everything up. Like, what were some of the roadblocks you had to overcome as you started integrating this and coming and being able to get it to the point that it's now?
Wow. I don't think we have enough time, Alex. but certainly the biggest roadblocks, one is the number of integrations that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to electronically process a claim in the cloud, first you have to have an integration to the DMS mm-hmm. so that you can get the claim out. And then it comes into WarCloud. And then you have to have an integration to the OEM, so that you can upload it to the OEM warranty portal so that dealer gets paid. Well, you know, there's lots of DMSs and there's mm-hmm. lots of OEMs. Everybody's got a slightly different configuration. So the integrations are a challenge. It took us quite a while. And then the other thing is, so at the heart of WarCloud is a library of what we call AI bots.
Mm-hmm.
And these bots are really what go to work on the claim, and they identify things that might be wrong or things that might be missing. And they the bots drive the correction of the claim and the eventual submission of it. So the development of the bot library, and there are tens of thousands of bots in the library today, that is really the heart in terms of the content that makes that is what drives WarCloud's automation.
Now, as you started to get more of these integrations done, do you feel like this is strengthening the relationship between the dealer and the OEM, you know, with the submission process being more streamlined and things like that, you know, or is it pretty much the same?
No, I think that's a great question. I think one of the things that we do is every OEM is different, but generally they all track warranty metrics mm-hmm. that they make available to the dealer through a dashboard. Most commonly, it's how quickly did you submit the RO? How often were you correct in your first submission, and things of that nature. And we consistently see that we improve the OEM dashboard scores for the dealer so that they have a better. And as you improve the dashboard scores, again, generally speaking, what you see is that the dealer then is less likely an audit candidate,
yep,
which is very desirable. So no, we're really helping there. We think, as a matter of fact, that over time we'll have we already have great relationships with our dealers, but we think that we'll have a deepening relationships with the OEMs, because there are a couple of advantages to how we do things today. So let's just think about for a second how OEMs view warranty. And I've had a couple of them tell me that there are three primary reasons for the way they operate their warranty portals. The first one, it is most important, is they want to get the data from the warranty at the dealership as quickly as possible mm-hmm. because they analyze it and they look for quality problems. And if they find something that's a pattern, then they can get that up into the supply chain and they can get ahead of that quality problem and fix it in the factory versus it getting out to the vehicle owner. That is far and away most important, and they want that data as soon as possible so they can do that analysis. The other two reasons that they collect the data and analyze it is to prevent fraud and error. Well, if you think about what WarCloud does, number one, we process and submit most of our claims to the dealer in 24 hours. So reason one is checked. They're getting it very, very quickly. But all our AI-driven bots are doing is they are applying the OEM rules that are in the labor time guides. So any chance of fraud or error, we eliminate through the use of our automation. So all of the reasons why the OEMs have their warranty administration bureaucracy set up, WarCloud can do as well. So I think that as we grow, you'll see OEMs coming to us and looking for ways that we can cooperate together.
Well, absolutely. I mean, like, I remember, I think it was in Chrysler, and I think it was on 2015, 16, when they came out with the 8-speeds and things like that, you know, we were having a lot of issues with the transmission. So the fact that they would be able to get more data faster to be able to make an adjustment and things like that, you know, the claims that I think it was one manufacturer, I think it was Key or somebody, they had a machining issue. You know, where the engines were failing consistently, they were having to warranty out engines well over 100,000 miles and things of that nature. So, I mean, the fact that they would be able to have access data and be able to correct that even quicker. I mean, that strengthens the market. That's better for, like you said, the customer experience. Now they're able to correct the problem even faster for newer models.
That's a great point. I mean, not only does it save them millions of dollars in potential warranty claims, but it also keeps the customer happier because they don't have to deal with having to go with the dealer and get a recall done or something on along those lines.
Oh, yeah, that's outstanding. Now, as far as like the recalls and that kind of stuff that you do, I mean, you're just processing the recalls as they're coming to you through the customer. You're not doing any kind of communication to the customer of what vehicles are available for recalls.
No. All WarCloud does is OEM warranty claims processing. That's our business. There is a different, if you think about OEM warranty as an ecosystem, there are three sort of buckets of company. The first is companies like auto recalls and the like that go out and they identify open recalls and get those customers to come back to the dealership to get those recalls completed. The second bucket is also a business Dynatron is in, which is warranty rate reimbursement, you know, looking to improve the hourly labor rate and the parts markup. And the third bucket is OEM warranty claims processing, which is what WarCloud does. So those three things collectively sort of, in my mind, make up today's warranty technology company ecosystem as far as automotive goes.
Man, it just keeps changing so fast. One of the things that your team got me with at the NADA, which blew my mind, is we went over and when I was talking to Teresa and we were like going to exchange business cards. So I like, you know, went and handed her my little business card and everything. She's like, "Where's your phone?" And she just did the little phone thing where they touch each other. And now I got her business card. Now that blew my mind. I know I may be behind in the technology of that aspect, but I was just like, we don't even do business cards anymore. It's just touching phones together. And now I got your information. So
yeah,
it's pretty revolutionary.
That accelerated during the pandemic. But I know what you mean. As a matter of fact, at NADA, I was talking with someone about, you know, how business cards have kind of become relics of the past to some degree.
Yeah. There's a movie I was watching, Mr. Baseball, and he's meeting a bunch of Japanese executives for the first time as he comes in. They're handing him his business cards. He goes, put them in their back pocket. And they're like, no. They're just like, you're sitting on their identity. So instead of business cards, he's handing out, you know, baseball cards. And he tells them, hey, put them in your front pocket. Don't be sitting on my face.
That's an interesting point. There used to be quite a protocol around exchanging business cards back in the day.
It was a big deal. I mean, you know, like just the style of card and how it felt in somebody's hand and all kinds of stuff. And now it's just, hey, where's your phone? And you get a picture, you get a little bio and all kinds of stuff that you have some fun with. So I think it's revolutionary with what you're doing. I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, if I was in, you know, service director, or if I was in a dealership now, I would 100% be on this because there's so much opportunity that you bring to the table for reducing costs and expanding gross. You know, the biggest thing, like you said, is customer experience, but then time back in their day. They don't have to dedicate somebody to that. You said the little broom closet room, you know, and all that paperwork. So as technology's kind of gaining, I think you guys are definitely at the forefront of it, you know, with what you're doing and how you're doing it.
No, thank you. We're coming up on selling our 600th dealer. So seems like it might be one of those right idea, right time things, which is lovely. Who would have thought OEM warranty claims processing could be so exciting?
Exactly. We just got to bring a Hall of Famer to sign footballs and everybody wants to do it.
Well, you know what? That was just a wonderful experience. But you know, he's a. I mean, he is synonymous with so many positive things, winning and doing it with quality and with great moral fiber being one of them. So it was a pleasure to work with him. We're working with him throughout 2024. So you'll see him. We'll be doing some things where he talks a little bit more about his philosophies of persistence and overcoming adversity and things of that nature, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Did you get him to throw any passes while he was at NADA?
Just the one that I mentioned to a guy who came in for a ball. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was more expensive if we got him to throw some passes. I tell you what, though. I mean, he's in great shape. You know, I mean, he mentioned how often he works out. And I think he's, what is he now, 53? But, boy, he is still looks like he is a tip-top shape. So it's a bit of an inspiration.
Well, Jim, I thank you so much. I'm going to kind of wrap up this episode for today. But one of the things I always offer up to my guests and everything is final word. So, you know, as you are kind of talking to the listeners, you know, of anybody who has an extensive background in automotive industry, somebody's listening for the first time and doesn't really maybe even have any automotive background industry, what kind of is something you would give, you know, kind of to the listeners or to kind of put out there for everybody?
Well, I mean, for anybody in the automotive industry, you know, I would just summarize by saying that dealers, you know, we're very challenged right now on the variable side of the house. You know, profitability is dropping on new and used vehicles. Interest rates are up. Regulations are tightening in the F&I office. So, you know, the variable side of the house is challenged. And consumers are feeling a little bit of a pinch. So maybe they're a little less likely to spend on customer pay. And we see that electric vehicles, you know, with so fewer moving parts, have a lot less customer pay opportunity. So the area to focus on as we continue to try and optimize profitability is warranty claims processing, trying to make sure you're getting every dollar that you're legitimately entitled to and reducing the cost of processing that so that your gross profit goes up. It's an area that I think is extremely important and will rise in importance to dealers over the next couple of years. For just the general audience, you know, I have a couple of sayings that I do tell my team that are sort of leadership principles. Maybe the one I will leave the group with on this podcast is, and I heard this from Keith Jezik, who was formerly the president of Cox Automotive. Keith said, "Never forget that nobody goes to Home Depot to buy a drill. They go to buy a hole in a wall," which I think translates to some degree is into don't get blinded by the technology. Remember that most people want their problem solved.
Right.
So so there's a little bit of Keith Jezik wisdom for you.
That's perfect. Well, Jim, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Hey, you think you'll come back?
I'd love to come back. You can tell I can talk about this stuff all day long. You got to gong me if you want me to stop talking.
I got to gong you. Start playing the music, right?
Right, exactly.
Perfect. Well, Jim, thank you again, brother. So wrap up this episode of the podcast today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Alex. Great seeing you.
Thank you for joining another episode of the Fuel Podcast. Always be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to be notified when new episodes are being dropped. And click the link below to review any of the show notes for additional information, or you can email the Fuel Podcast with the link, as we encourage any feedback or any questions or comments from our listeners. Until next time, I'm your host, Alex Keith, with the Fuel Podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership.